you turn with me over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I want to give you a message tonight called The Spirit Said. The Spirit Said is mentioned four times in Acts, but it's actually mentioned five times because one is a rehearsal of the miracle working power of God as He testifies before the brethren, praise God. And you know we can do nothing without Him, so let's read the scripture and then pray, amen? Praise God, it says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. Be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remote part of the earth. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Keith, for opening up your pulpit. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Raise your voice with me and pray. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. You said whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, you'll do, oh God. You said you will receive power, Lord. Power, 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 Lord. That power that we need, oh God, hallelujah, to reach, oh God, Jerusalem, to reach our Samaria, to reach the uttermost parts of the earth. We need your power, Lord, that anointing, the Holy Ghost power, the Holy Ghost infilling, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we look to you today, and we ask you, oh God, to have your way, Lord, to have your way in this service. Thank you for your power that's moving and working among the nations of the world, hallelujah. And Lord, we look to you today, Lord, and we ask you to move. We ask you to touch. We ask you to do only what you can do, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them this could be your night for a miracle. But you shall receive power. That word power is dunamis. It comes from that's where we get part of the word for dynamite. Amen. Dynamite. You're going to receive dynamite, that power. These disciples, there they were. And these are some of the words that the Lord told them. In Luke 24:49, you don't have to turn there. But Jesus told them earlier. He said, you know, before you go out, before you try to go out and evangelize, before you try to go and reach the lost, hallelujah. Because Jesus did tell them, go into all the world, amen, and preach the gospel. Teach and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But he said, before you go on out, hallelujah, there were waiting in an upper room. There were men and women praying. There was Mary and Martha. There were the disciples. There were 120, hallelujah, in that upper room. You can read her in the book of Acts, and they were there praying. They were there interceding. They were there seeking God. Doesn't the word of God tell us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Didn't he tell us? Hallelujah. Didn't he tell us in Matthew 5, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Come on, give him some praise tonight. Hallelujah. And there he is. There they are. They're waiting and they're praying because Jesus told them to wait. You're going to need dynamite. You're going to need dunamis. You're going to need charisma. You're going to need the anointing. You're going to need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You're going to need the baptism of the Holy Ghost before you go and touch nations, before nations are touched. Isn't it interesting that God had them right there? It was on the feast, the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. On that 50th day, they were waiting. They were praying. They were tarrying and waiting for the promise. Hallelujah. And you know the story. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2, praise God, they were there in that upper room. It came like the Holy Ghost came, like a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Hallelujah. It sat upon each of them like cloven tongues of fire. Oh, hallelujah. Like cloven tongues of fire, it sat on them. And they began to speaking other languages, hallelujah. There were Parthians and Medes and Arabs and Jews and proselytes. They were there praying, hallelujah. And people heard them praying in this other, in their own languages, hallelujah. And they begin to wonder, what is it? How can they speak in my language? How does this Arab know Spanish, hallelujah? How does this Jewish know Ojibwe, hallelujah? Come on. How does this Scandinavian, hallelujah, know Yiddish, hallelujah? Come on. How does he know that because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? They got that baptism and they were filled, hallelujah, and they were there. And it's interesting how God had them there, how he did a sign, how he did a wonder, how he did what he said he's able to do, because he told us in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him which is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Oh, hallelujah. And there they were, praise God, and they were waiting and praying and tarrying. They got filled. 3,000 or so were added to the church. Amen. Amen. 3,000. Hallelujah. 3,000. God can do it again. God can do it again. We need a Pentecost. Hallelujah. We need a fresh infilling. We need a fresh move of God. We need a new Pentecost. Hallelujah. Or another Pentecost. Hallelujah. If we would wait and pray and tarry, hallelujah, for God to move, hallelujah, as only He can. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. His wonders to perform. He still tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, hallelujah, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not, hallelujah. It's still there. It's still out there. The promise is still given. The challenge is for you and I to call unto Him, hallelujah. And there they were waiting and tarrying. If you turn with me, hallelujah, because I want you to hear something, church. The Spirit knows the future. The Holy Ghost I'm talking about now. The Spirit knows the future. He knows the now of the church because He's the third person of the Godhead. Amen? Amen. He's the third person of the Trinity, so He knows the now. He knows the future. He even knows where the unlost are going to be even before they get there. Hallelujah. Come on, because He's God. Hallelujah. And the Spirit knows the future and He knows the now. Is it not laid down in 1 Samuel chapter 3? Just listen. Is it not laid down when the young boy, hallelujah, the young boy didn't know the voice of the Lord, and the Lord came to him at night, and Eli said, after the couple of times, he said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord calling you. It's the Lord calling you. It's the Lord wanting to talk to you. When He comes again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. My ear is, I'm listening to what you might say. Does not it tell us in 1 Kings 19, in another translation, that he heard the still, small voice, Elijah? But in one translation says he was so close, he heard the whisper of God. Hallelujah. You got to be close to hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening for your instruction. I'm listening for your calling. I'm listening for your direction. I'm listening for your guidance. I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening for you to lead and to guide and to direct and to show me where to go. They relied heavily. They relied on the Holy Spirit. They relied on the Holy Spirit. For their unction, for their leading, for their guiding, for their necessary food, for their provision. They relied on the Holy Spirit. And you come over here in Acts chapter 8, look with me there. They relied on the Holy Spirit. And we need to be a church, amen, that's relying on the Holy Spirit. We need to get back to say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Too often we don't give God a chance to speak to us because we're always talking. But we're not listening. We do all the talking, all the praying. God already knows what we need before we ask, it says. Come on. But what is it you want to say to me, Lord? Isn't his name still Mighty God, Everlasting Father? Isn't his name still Counselor? Isn't he our Counselor? In Acts chapter 8, you look there. And you look there and you can see how Philip down in verse 4, he goes down to Samaria. Philip is a deacon, but he's a Holy Ghost deacon. He's a tongue-talking deacon. He's an anointed deacon. He's got dynamite in his soul. He's got dynamite in his spirit. He's got dynamite in his body. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. He's got dynamite in him. Hallelujah. Oh, man, and that dynamite is ready to explode. That dynamite is ready to explode. That dynamite is ready to explode. It's ready to catch fire. It's ready to move something, to move someone. It's getting ready to move someone and move something out of the way. And he was listening. And God sent him to go down to Samaria. And he got down there and revival broke out. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. Come on. Demons were being cast out. What a revival. What a remove of God. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, he had dynamite in his soul. Hallelujah. And when you got dynamite in your soul, when it's really dynamite, you can't just sit there quiet. You can't. You got to move. You got to move. You got to do something. Hallelujah. Because it's, man, it's just gooder and gooder. I don't know if there's a word, but that's what I call him. Gooder and gooder. He gets gooder and gooder. And he got down there with this anointing, with the guidance, with the leading, with the direction of the Holy Ghost. It's interesting as he's listening. God is moving. Most people don't do it like this. Most evangelists wouldn't do it like this. Come on. Most evangelists wouldn't leave a revival and go to the desert. Come on. Most people wouldn't leave a revival. Who wants to leave a revival when you pray for revival? Then when revival comes, nobody wants to leave. I don't blame you. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit knows the future of the church, and the Holy Spirit knows who's in the desert. There's somebody in the desert that needs salvation. There's somebody in the desert that needs to hear the gospel message. That for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Somebody needs to hear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somebody needs to hear that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody needs to hear that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Somebody needs to hear, come let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, I shall make them as wool. Oh, somebody needs to hear. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Somebody needs to hear that the thief comes not for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and might have it more abundantly. Oh, give him some praise tonight. And there he is. He's going down there. It says down there, hallelujah. It says here, praise God. Down in chapter 8 there. In verse 29. An angel, amen. In verse 26, look with me there. He leaves. He's led to go in the desert. Because somebody's down there, one soul. It needs to be one-on-one. Hallelujah. The Spirit knew that this Ethiopian's going to be down there. He's a eunuch. In verse 26, but the angel of the Lord spoke to
Philip saying, get up, go to the south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. Hallelujah. The angel appeared to him, a special messenger from God. Hallelujah. Go into the desert. Hallelujah. Philip didn't know. What do you mean go into the desert? Leave this revival. Leave this move of God. Come on, angel. Don't you know people are getting saved, healed, and delivered? You're sure you want me to leave? Hallelujah. And go on out to the desert. Yes, go to the desert. He knew. He knew the voice of the Lord. He knew those that know their God shall do exploits. Hallelujah. My sheep know my voice. Hallelujah. He knew this is God. This is God sending me. And I'm going to go. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, hallelujah, why I'm going to a desert. But I know every time I follow His instruction, every time I follow His leading, every time I follow His direction, something good's going to happen, hallelujah. Something good's going to happen, hallelujah. Something good's going to happen. Something good is going to happen. Oh, man. He gets down there walking by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Amen. And he gets down there. Hallelujah. Down into that desert. Praise God. He got up there, it says in 27, and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace. Say court official. Amen. Amen. Of the queen of the Ethiopians. Say in charge of the treasury. Charge of the treasury. In other words, he writes the checks. He makes the bank deposits. Come on, he balances the checkbook. Wow. He's the man. He's important. He's important to the queen. He counts the pennies, the nickels, the dollars, the hundreds, the thousands, and on and on and on. Maybe gold bars. Maybe he is an expert in jewelry with diamonds and rubies. Come on. Because he's in Ethiopia. Gold. Silver. Man. Come on. And there he is. And what's he doing? He's reading. This Ethiopian is reading. He's reading and he's sitting in his chariot and he's reading. He's reading the book of Isaiah. He's reading the book. Who knew that he would be there reading the book of Isaiah? Who knew? The Lord, the Holy Spirit knew that he would be reading. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Who knew that he would be reading? And in his reading, he's wondering. He's wondering, who is the prophet writing about? I don't know. I wish I had understanding. I wish I had somebody to teach me. Well, God was sending someone to instruct him and guide him and lead him and bring him into salvation. Hallelujah. And it says in 26, then the Spirit, see that capital S, the Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, said to Philip, go up, and John, go up, and join this chariot. What did he do? Did he hesitate? Did he say, like our Christian cliche today, let me pray about it, hallelujah. Come on, every time when we're challenged, hallelujah, our faith, we say, let me pray about it, hallelujah. He didn't need to pray about it, hallelujah. I already prayed before I got here. I already saw God before I got here. So I'm trusting He's leading and guiding. And he goes, what does he do? He runs. He runs. He don't walk. He says, man, something's going to happen. I feel it deep down in my bones. Something's going to happen. He gets down there. Hears him reading. Shows him the way of salvation. He asks him. He tells him, he says, do you know what you're reading? He says, how can I unless someone guides me? Philip, he invited him to come and sit down. Come on and sit in my chariot. He began to read the passage there. Amen. The eunuch said, who's he talking about? Down in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and he began to preach to him Jesus. He began to tell him about Jesus, hallelujah. He began to preach Jesus, hallelujah. Him crucified, risen, hallelujah. Amen, buried and ascended to the Father's right hand. He began to preach him about Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He began to preach about Jesus, about the cross, about how he was wounded, how stripes were taken on his body, how a spear was driven in his side, how spikes were driven into his hands and his feet, taking a crown of thorns upon him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He began to preach to him about his Savior, about his Lord, about the one who found him. Hallelujah. The one who took him out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set his feet upon a rock. His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Lovely name. The name of Jesus. Mighty name Jesus. Wonderful name Jesus. We never get tired of Jesus. He ends up getting saved. Come on. He ends up getting saved when you do it the way the Spirit tells you to do it. You never know what's going to happen. Come on. You never know who you're going to meet. Working out at the gym, pumping some iron, getting in there working out. Got to work off that fry bread. Work off that green chili. Come on. And that ice cream, that fried ice cream. Oh, man. Oh, to die for. Her husband went, got us a, went, I said, I wish we had a donut. Man, he went over and got this piece like this, a Mexican cake like this. That was just, it was us three. That was just my portion. He got one for my son. Come on. He got one for my son. Wow. And I'm working out at the gym. Thank you, brother. I'm working out at the gym. This guy is watching me. You know, he's always watching me. By the way, some of you are going to wonder why I shave my hair, why I wear my hair like this. So I'll tell you before I forget. I'm a Red Lake Ojibwe from Minnesota. We're almost to the Canadian border up above Bemidji. When our people used to go to war, when the warriors were going to war with other tribes or with the government, they gave a warning. This warning was when they were going on the warpath, they shaved the sides of their head. That was to tell the opposing tribes and the government and the soldiers, the Ojibwe are getting ready to go on the warpath. Come on. Amen. When I heard that 25 years ago, I shaved the sides of my head. Hallelujah. Because I'm on the warpath. I'm on the warpath. I'm a warrior on the warpath. A warrior on the warpath. A warrior on the warpath. But it's against the devil and his kingdom. It's against the kingdom of darkness. A warrior on the war path with a sword. Hallelujah. A two-edged sword. And so I'm there working and he's looking at me. And I said, "What, man, what's this guy? How come he keeps looking at me? Man, I don't know." He comes over and he says, "You know, I've been watching you these last couple of weeks." I said, "I know. Man, I thought I was a cherry cheesecake the way you were looking at me." He says, "You know," he says, "are you a trainer?" I said, "No, I just train myself." He said, you know, I like your workout, what you're doing. Would you train me?" I said, "What? Train you?" He says, "Yeah, well, can I work out with you? We come about the same time." I said, "Sure." See, I was praying for a divine appointment. I said, "Lord, give me a divine appointment in the gym." And then the Holy Spirit says this, "Don't witness to him. Don't preach to him. Don't say anything. Just work out with him. Be his friend." Man, this guy I'm working out with him, he's talking dirty. He's swearing. He's saying, "Hey, look at that one down there. Don't you look good?" And he's kind of winking at me. Man, I had both my barrels loaded. I wanted to give them to him, but the Holy Spirit said, "Don't say nothing. Just, man, I just had to pray just because, man," I said, "man, you sinner, I wanted to just give it to him." Come on. for 3 weeks.
Worked out with him 3 days a week. Lord, don't say anything. And I didn't. Then one day, one of my brothers, he was part of our church. We call him the Hungry Hungarian. Because he'd eat anything. He would not only eat anything, but he'd eat everything. Come on. And he from being around me, he's just real loud, and we're just loud. And he came in there at the gym this one time, the same time we were, after 3 weeks, and he comes in, he's just happy, he's praising the Lord, he said, "Hey, Pastor, how you doing?" He's coming towards me, Pastor. And this guy I'm working out with, his mouth just drops open, he turns red, he says, "Oh, you're a pastor? Why didn't you tell me? You know I've been talking dirty and swearing and talking about things." I said, "The Lord told me not to say anything. But now that the cat's out of the bag, I'll tell you." I invited him to church. He came one Saturday alone. Or Sunday. One Sunday he came. He's married and has 3 children. Then we worked out. He asked me about the service. Then the next, he came. He says, "I'm going to come next week. I like this service." He says, "I'm going to bring my family, bring my wife and my 3 kids. Yes. I said, "Okay, good. You're welcome. Come on. The more the merrier." What happened? He came again. What happened? When the altar call, "Do you want the Lord in your life?" Who was there? Him, his wife, and 3 kids. Yeah. Wow. Wow. How did I know? How did I know how God would work that out? I didn't know, but I'm so glad I listened. I'm so glad I listened. So glad I listened. So glad I listened. So glad the Lord sent me to the reservation in White Earth, Minnesota to preach, to do a revival. So glad I went. Because when the altar call was given, there was a teenage girl. And she came with her brother. He was going to be 4 years old. Blonde haired and blue eyes. It blew me away. I still can't forget about it. Even today, it wasn't that long ago. And I says, "What does he want? Who needs prayer?" He says, "My brother." "Oh, what's wrong? Is he sick?" And I looked at him. I said, "What do you need prayer for?" I got down on one knee. He says, "I want Jesus in my heart." I said, "What? I want Jesus in my heart." Oh, man, I just start crying. "You want Jesus in your heart? Going to be 4 years old. Let him in the sinner's prayer." There was a meal after church. He's going around. He didn't even forget the meal. There's cake and ice cream. He don't care about that. He's going around tapping everybody on the shoulder. He's smiling. Amen. He says, "I got Jesus in my heart." He says, "I got Jesus in my heart. I got Jesus in my heart. I got Jesus in my heart." Wow! Wow! I'm so glad I went. I wasn't going to go that way, but the Holy Spirit knew that there would be that boy right there in service. The Holy Spirit knew when I went among the Apache in New Mexico, the mountain Apache, went there, preached a revival, and who was sitting way in the back? Who was sitting in the way in the back? A 90-year-old man. I was preaching, getting into it. I was having a good time, and the Holy Spirit speaking to me, "Give an altar call. I'm only 10 minutes into my message." That can't be the Lord. And I just keep preaching away. The Holy Spirit says, "Give an altar call." I says, "Come on, that can't be the Lord." Then the Holy Spirit says again, "Are you going to give an altar call?" And in my spirit, I'm talking to the Lord and preaching. I says, "Lord, I never gave an altar call after 10 minutes of preaching in all my life, 30-some years." I says, "This may seem weird, but I have to be obedient. There's people here today that need the Lord. God's reaching out to you and wants to save you today, right now. Right now, before we go any farther. Who is the man that came way in the back over here? He came up and he knelt down here. His name is Zeno. 90 years old. He said, I've been to church all my life, but I never asked Jesus into my life. Who came over here? 5, 6, 7 young Apache women came. Knelt down right here. What I learned is this. The Holy Spirit knows who's in the house. When it's the right time. Come on, church. It pays to listen. The Holy Spirit speaking, the Spirit speaking. Then you look over quickly in Acts chapter 10. The pastor said, as long as I didn't go over 3 hours, I can go. When you go way up north, I was an evangelist to Canada. We usually didn't get out of church till midnight. We let God have His way. Come on, amen. But in Acts chapter 10, you can read there about Cornelius. Cornelius is a centurion of the Italian band. He's devout. Amen. He fears God with his household. He gives many alms to the Jewish people and prays to God continually. That's the end of verse 2. And about the 9th hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius, he's fixing his gaze on him and being alarmed. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended up as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa. Send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He's staying with a tanner named Simon by the seaside. Praise God. And when the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his people and they said, go over there. Man, it's something how the angel knew where Peter was. He says, he's over there. Send two men over there. Why? Because something was going to happen. There was going to be a move. People were going to get saved. People were going to get filled. There was going to be a difference. Hallelujah. Come on. Something was going to happen. And he does it. Cornelius is obedient. He sends for Peter. The men go. But God has to deal with Peter. God has to deal with Peter's heart. Because there's still some things, even though he's filled, even though he's a tongue talker, there's still some things from his past that are still in the oven that need to be taken out. Amen. Come on. He had religiosity. Amen. He was rigid. He was rigid. It was like a bar. He wouldn't bend. There were things that he were taught about Gentiles. Come on. And God brings down a sheet. And he sees these things on this sheet that he's not supposed to eat, that's not kosher. Come on. Yeah. And if you look at it in modern day fair phrase, there's some pork chops on that sheet. There's some bacon, some sausage legs. Come on. Yeah. Some nicely sliced ham. Yeah. Ham hocks. Come on. Some things that in the way he was brought up, he's not supposed to eat. And so there were things that God, even us, come on, even us, when we look at that portion of Scripture, we can be saved and tongue-talking, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But sometimes we won't let go of our religiosity, our rigid ways. Come on, church. Yes, we can get rigid. We can get like a bar where we won't bend, we won't move. And Peter, if he doesn't yield, if he doesn't seek God and wonder, what is this? Why did God show me this vision? What is it? What is it in the message that I'm supposed to get? What is God saying to me that God wants to help me? Oh, church, don't you understand? God loves us. God loves us so much. Hallelujah. So much. God loves us. God loves us so much. So much. He loves us so much. That he don't want us to stay there. Yeah. He's not scared to show us what's in our heart. Right.
He wants to help us. That's why He shows us. And I'm baffled how many people leave God's house when they know that there's something God wants to get a hold of and let go of, but they won't do it. They won't surrender and come for prayer or yield at an altar. When God is showing it because He loves us.
Amen.
He loves us. He cares about us. He doesn't want us to struggle with that anymore. We struggle with sin, but we need Jesus to save us.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
It's the same way with anything we struggle with. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Man, when you put that in there that He loves me, that's why He wants to help me. That's why He shows me. That's why He convicts me. That's why He woos me. Man, woo! Man, You love me that much, Lord, that You're willing to deal with me?
Wow.
Wow. That's just like, man, come on, church. That's like, put that in there. Put that in the equation. Put that in there, devil. Put that in there. Put that in there. That God loves me. He cares about me. Man, wow, that He can show me my heart. That He can show where I've been tripping up, where there's something still a bondage, something I need to let go of, to go on, to go to the next level. If Peter doesn't let go, he misses the opportunity.
Amen.
He'll miss the opportunity. He'll miss the blessing. He'll miss the move of God. He'll miss the open door to the Gentiles. Come on. It says here quickly down in verse 19. It says this. So Peter sees this. He sees this. Hallelujah. The men come and he sees this. And down in 18. And so they were asking where Simon was. And they called Peter, where he was staying. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, he's reflecting. He's thinking. The Spirit said to him. Who did?
The Spirit.
Tell me again. Who?
The Spirit.
One more time.
The Spirit.
The Spirit, capital S. The Holy Spirit said to him. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to him. Behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. What did Peter do? Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I'm the one you're looking for. What's the reason which you have come? And they told Cornelius. They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous man and fearing God, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to this house to hear a message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging. But as you read on, what does Cornelius do? Because he's of the Italian band. What does he do? He invites all his friends and his neighbors. Come on. He invites the community. What's way that'll get the community in? If he's of the Italian band, let's have some spaghetti and meatballs. Let's cook up some lasagna. Hallelujah. Let's have some rigatoni. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's have some pasta. Let's get some of them pizzas in here with everything on it, with garlic and peppers and onions and cheese and mushrooms. Come on. Five different kinds of cheeses. Don't spare anything. Hallelujah. Come on, with sausages and pepperoni. Woo, man. Chicken and ham. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm making myself hungry. Hallelujah. But that's all right. Cook this meal, garlic bread, hallelujah. Garlic bread in the oven, cooking away. My, come on over, he says. I'm cooking tonight. I'm going to have a feast. It's everything. Everything's on the menu. Anything Italian is on the menu. Wow. He gets them there. He gets them there. Why? Listen, church. Because Cornelius knows if God has sent an angel to speak to me, to send for the man of God, something is going to happen. Hallelujah. I'm making preparation. I'm getting ready for a move. I'm getting ready for a revival. I'm getting ready for souls to get saved. I'm getting ready for God to do something. Hallelujah. If he can use the food, if he can use that as an instrument, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. I believe God's going to move. He's going to do something supernatural. I want my friends, my relatives, the community saved. So I got to give up myself. Give part of it. I'm going to put my part in. And there's Peter. Wow. He goes with them. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He's walking by faith and not by sight. But he knows the Spirit. The Spirit. Man, the Spirit. When the Spirit gives direction, when the Spirit gives a word, when the Spirit gives guidance, hallelujah. Wow, when the Spirit interrupts us, you can interrupt our schedule, Holy Spirit. Interrupt our schedule. Interrupt the service. Interrupt the worship. Interrupt whatever we're doing. We give you free reign, Holy Spirit. Interrupt! Interrupt us! Interrupt us, Holy Spirit! Interrupt us! Interrupt our plans. Interrupt our schedule. Interrupt it. We got to go see somebody. Interrupt us. Interrupt us, Holy Spirit. We give you free reign to interrupt us. His whole thing is interrupted. Maybe he's down there by the seaside. I'm just going to take some time off. I'm going to give me some salmon. Come on. I'm going to get me a few halibut, hallelujah, some oysters, some clams, some fish eggs, hallelujah. Man, I'm just going to buffet my body, hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit interrupted all that. The Holy Spirit interrupted all that. The Holy Spirit interrupted it. He says, man, I can do that anytime. But man, I don't know what's going to happen. Man, but I know something's good. Something good is coming. Something's going to happen down there. I don't know what. Man, but God sent for me. The Holy Spirit gave me this vision. Whoa, man, something good is about to happen. Oh, I can see an expectancy in Peter's spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, church. We need to get back to having an expectancy. We need to begin to believe for miracles. We need to trust Him for signs. We need to know that He is the God of the now, the God of the yesterday, and the God of tomorrow. Hallelujah. We need to begin once again to believe for them signs and them wonders, for transformation, for transformation, transformation, transformation. God is a God of transformation. And there he goes. Cornelius tells him the story. Amen. Down in verse 30, talks about 4 days ago, about this hour. He says, I was supposed to send for you, and he tells him the whole story. Come on, I'm not going to read through all that. You can do that on your time because I'm going somewhere. Say, we're going somewhere. And he gets down in verse 34. Amen. And he began, amen, to begin to preach, and he began to preach about Jesus. Amen. He began to preach about Jesus, about him being put to death and hanging on the cross in verse 39. Praise God. Somebody needed to hear about Jesus. Somebody needed to hear about the love of Jesus, about the mercy of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody needed down there. The Holy Spirit knew that there is a people down there that need the Word. There's a people down there that are looking for hope. There's a people that are sinful that need the mercy of God. Hallelujah. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Somebody needed to hear about Jesus. And he gets down there preaching Jesus. And what begins to happen? Amen. Down in verse 44. Hallelujah. He talked about forgiveness. And in His name, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Everyone who believes in Him can receive forgiveness of sins. You hear me, church? Everyone who believes in Jesus can receive forgiveness of sins as they call upon the name of the Lord. And while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit, who did? The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed. Were amazed. Were amazed. 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 Underline it. Pray it. Amazed. Amaze us, Lord. 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 Amaze us by saving those we wouldn't think that God would care for. Amaze us, Lord. Amaze us once more. Amaze us. Amaze us. Amaze us. They were amazed. Man, they were amazed. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Hallelujah. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who had received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Oh my, 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 my. Peter must have said, oh, happy day, happy day, happy day, happy day, happy day, happy day, happy day. Oh, happy day. Happy day. There's nothing better when a preacher can help in bringing people to the Lord. Oh, happy day. Man, when he went back, just like TJ, it just resonates in your spirit. Just like, oh, happy day. Wow. Peter must have been saying, man, I'm so glad I listened. I didn't understand, but I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm so glad that when the Holy Spirit began to show that to me about my life, I'm so glad that I let in, that I let go. Come on, that the Lord could have His way. Come on, I'm so glad I left that rigid religiosity. I'm so glad I left my pride thinking that I'm better than somebody else. I'm so glad that I left that law and that legalism. That legalism. I'm so glad I let my legalism down. So God can move. Wow. And then you turn over here to Acts 13. Stay with me. You with me?
Yeah.
Acts 13, verse 1. This is the third time the Spirit speaks. Because the Spirit knew, the Holy Spirit knew that there's a dying world. It says, now they were at Antioch in the church that was there, prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Malan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Hallelujah. Somebody interrupted their fasting. Somebody interrupted their prayer. Somebody interrupted and came in the meeting. Somebody give a word. The Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit was saying, 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 set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Set them apart. Set them apart, the Holy Spirit said, and they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down here and there. And as they were led and they was directed, the Holy Spirit would guide them by the women by the water, by the river. The Holy Spirit would lead them. They'd be put in prison eventually. Paul and Silas would be put in prison. But oh, happy day. What did they do? They prayed and they worshiped God in prison in Acts 16. God moved and the doors were open. The centurion, the soldier who was there, was getting ready to kill himself. And Paul said, wait, no, but we're all here. Don't kill yourself. And he got saved and all his household. They got baptized. They went home and dressed their wounds. And Mama put some tortillas on, some refried beans, some fried potatoes. Come on. Some Mexican sausage with scrambled eggs, some pico de gallo. Wow. Woo. And the church was church, the church, the church was planted. A new church, new church, new church. Souls, souls, souls. Come on, church. Souls getting saved. I planted just a little bit over five churches that God has led us to plant. We planted one among the Ho-Chunk. When I pastored Church Acts, we ran about 200 people. Had 12 on my board. And God, as we were asked to go down, they said, would you come down and hold a service for us just one Sunday a month? Sunday evening. Before you knew it, we had 40 people, 40, 50 people attending. After, I think it was the second Sunday we went. They were all there and people were getting saved and touched. But the next month there were more people, and then they said the next one, we got our children, we want to dedicate them to the Lord. Would you dedicate us? Well, let's have a walking. We want to follow the Lord in water baptism. I'm just going down there as an evangelist. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I said, man, they need a pastor down there. They need a pastor. And I'm driving 3 hours, me and my wife, just one Sunday a month. And the Holy Spirit says, you're going to be their pastor. You're their pastor. That's why they're having the babies dedicated. That's why they're having you baptize them. I says, I can't be their pastor. I'm pastoring over here, Lord. How can I be their pastor? Do you want me to resign this church and go down here? He says, no, you're going to do both. I'm what? I'm going to do both. I don't have a helicopter like some ministers. I don't even have a little plane, hallelujah. As a matter of fact, I don't even have them little planes you can buy and you can float through the air. Come on. And the Holy Spirit said, this is how you're going to do it. Amen. You're going to go down Thursday, do a small group. Talk to people and go to house and talk to people on Friday. And Saturday you'll have your service. After service you'll come back and do your church in St. Paul on Sunday. See, I had five pastors under me so I could do that. They all knew all what to do. Amen. Good to raise up leadership under you. Amen. Praise God. And so we went down there and we planted this church. And then a word was given, a prophetic word like somebody spoke out today. A prophetic word. I'm going to bring in a couple that's Ho-Chunk that's going to pastor this church. Come on, church. About a couple months after, this couple comes and they're sitting there and I'm just preaching away and they're crying. The more I preach, the more they cry. Man, I like that though. Man, but I don't know. I wasn't so much preaching about sin or anything like that or picking on them. But the more I preached, the more they cried. They were crying and crying and crying. I said, man, I don't know what's going on. Man, I just kept preaching the message that the Lord gave me. Gave an altar call. They came running to the front. And they said, you don't know us. I said, I know. He said, I've been running from God's call for 15 years. I was called to be a pastor. And I've been running away from that call. But I can't run anymore. Would you pray for me? I want to just rededicate my life. My wife agrees. Wow. I was like, what? My spirit, I'm saying, wow. They're Ho-Chunk.
And then I said, let's go out and we'll have a sandwich. He said, okay. We go down. And the Holy Spirit, while he's at the stoplight, they drive their own car and they meet us down at the Ponderosa Steakhouse. Amen.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit says, hey, hey. I see somebody else likes to eat like me. Amen. What good brothers. Amen. And so, he's at the stoplight. And the Holy Spirit says, this is going to be your pastor. You're to ask him to mentor you and coach you and raise you up in the ministry. And we get down there. And we've been praying because God gave us a prophetic word. We've been praying. Where's that couple? We're sitting at Ponderosa around the table. He says, before we eat, before we pray, there's something on my heart. He said, would you be my pastor? Would you raise me up, me and my wife, you and your wife, in ministry? Would you help us in the things of God? I said, what? My wife started crying. He started crying. His wife started crying. I started crying. Man, this is supposed to be a happy occasion because you're at Ponderosa. Come on. We're all crying and the waitress is coming and we're crying. I said, just come back. Come back. Come on. I said, yes. Who did we pass the church over to after 2 years? Them. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. God knew. God knew. Yeah. God knew. Yeah. I thank God that God knew that we went to plant the church, even though it took of our time. God would raise up the leaders, and there's still the pastors there today. Because God knows, the Spirit knows the now. The Spirit knows the future. Hallelujah. Give Him some praise. Now turn with me over to Acts 21. This is the fourth time the Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit. There was a man there, in verse 10 of Acts 21. And as we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus, say a prophet.
A prophet.
Say Agabus.
Agabus.
Came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands, and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard this, we were all as the local residents and began begging him not to go to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done.
Yes. Yes.
Key. It's a key. The Holy Spirit warns him. Warns him and ties. He's tied up by the prophet. Gives him a prophetic word. What lies ahead? Suffering. Imprisonment. Jail. Come on. No more freedom traveling here and there. If you go to Jerusalem, suffering waits for you. Hardship, trials, difficulty. Life will change the way you know it. Choice. A choice is given to Paul. A choice. If you go this way, that's what's there. Jerusalem. Here is freedom. Here is liberty. Here is the continuation of your ministry. No suffering, no heartache like you know it. Come on. Choice is given. A choice. He's at a crossroads. What he does, will decide not only his future, but even will help with the future of the church. Because Paul goes, Paul goes to Jerusalem. He goes, and what happens? He's chained. He's put in prison. But what does he do? He says, man, what does he do? Come on, church. What does he do? He begins to write. He says, hey, they might lock me up, but the word of God isn't bound. And Paul gets down there. He says, hey, man, I ain't had no quiet time in a while. Come on. Can you imagine? There's a jailer here and there's one here. Can you imagine being chained to Paul? Not being saved. This guy says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Wow. He's seen the dead raised. Wow. Can you imagine being chained to him? I mean, he's got over 2,000 scars on his body for following Jesus. Come on. And the Holy Spirit says, now write, Paul. Now write. He says, what shall I write? He says, remember in the desert, the revelation I gave you, but you haven't been able to write because you've been too busy here and there. And he begins to say, in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He begins to write down, be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He begins to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He begins to say, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He begins to write, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He began to write so the church could be enriched, so the church could be helped. He began to write them prison epistles. He began to say in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand an evil day. And having done all to stand, stand there. For having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Come on. He began to write about that armor, how he needed it, but how we need it. Thank God that he wrote down the revelation. Come on, church. He wrote down that revelation. The enemy thought, hey, that's it. No, it's not it. The Word. I may be bound, but the Word of God cannot be bound. Hallelujah. God's Word will never come back void. Come on. And then he wrote classic, and that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose.
He began to say, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That all things work together for good. He wrote, so we can be enriched. You see, it may not mean as much to you as it means to me. In closing, most of my children, like TJ mentioned, my seven were in gangs and drugs and alcohol. My second daughter was stabbed about 16 times by a gang. We almost lost her. My youngest daughter went to prison. She was the youngest girl to go at prison in Shakopee Prison in Minnesota. Come on, church. All my children were away from the Lord. My son now, my second, third son, is doing life in prison without parole. What do you do? What do you do? You pray, but you stand on God's word. Yes. You have a body like this who's friendly, who loves you, who stands with you. Says, "Pastor, we're praying. Pastor, we're with you. Don't give up, Pastor." When you hit the altar and tears are rolling down your eyes and your heart is in pain, it's breaking. You said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'm with you always, to the end of the earth." That's why the scriptures mean so much to me. Because time after time, God would give me a scripture, a chapter to memorize, a chapter to stand on, a chapter to pray. How did I make it through? God helped me. God came along. The paraclete came along through His Word to teach me, to instruct me, to help me through. He's still the God who walks in the fire with us. He still walks in the fire with us. He walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. There was four in the fire. One was the Lord. And I give Him praise and glory, because after 20 years I give Him glory. Almost all my children are back in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some are preaching. Some have been to Bible school. My son will finish, Lord willing, in December. Second son graduated from Bible school. Who would ever thought? I'm overwhelmed, church. I'm overwhelmed by the goodness and the faithfulness and the love of God. I'm overwhelmed when I hear my son preach or sing or my daughter preach. I'm overwhelmed. Look what God has done. Look what God has done.